what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fast, only. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Deli, shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Deli, you know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony, 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 Tony.
Go BBS Radio.
We're live here another week of the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. And listen, we got a lineup of guests coming. My main man, Maurice Love, is going to be joining the show as we talk college basketball and the scandal. But there's been some new things that's breaking in this college basketball scandal, and it's concerning a suit maker. When I say a suit maker, this thing is getting continually and continually to get even more bizarre. And I guarantee you, once this part of this thing is going, it's going to be more and more and more. The tree is starting to shake, and the leaves are going to fall off this tree when it comes to this NCAA scandal. There's going to be a lot of people, and a lot of people right now, that are running scared. I mean, completely running scared from this scandal. And they're continuing to run scared from this scandal. I'm telling you, we're going to dig deep into that. And guess what? The mighty Green Bay Packers go back on their original statement that they made about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, when they wasn't thinking at one time they weren't going to put him on IR, but they found out after surgery they puts him on IR because they was hoping to get him back at the end of the season. But that falls through. But I'm going to tell you what's going interesting here in South Florida. With the Colin Kaepernick story still brewing the way it is, and the NFL and the players are meeting. Here in South Florida, there are some interesting things going on with the Metro-Dade Police Department, who does private detail for the Miami Dolphins game. And the Miami Dolphins plays the Jets. So you know that's a huge game here in South Florida when you're getting those two. But the police, the president of the Police Benevolent Association, has stated he wants his officers not to take this detail. Not to make the money, not to take the detail, because he feels like the players that are kneeling are disrespecting the police. How far is this disrespect work going to go? First, they stated that it was disrespecting the flag, disrespecting the military. Now, police are coming in and saying this thing is disrespecting the police department. When that's kind of alarming that he will say, when they take an oath to protect and serve, that we put, as law enforcement, we put our feelings involved in this. But those are some of the things that are topics that we are going to touch in here on the Tony Sands Show. I'm telling you, when my main man Maurice Love into the set, boy, it lights up. The ball dribbles down the court, and we get into this thing. Cleveland and Milwaukee plays tonight. LeBron, D-Wade back together again. Bam! Batman and Robin, peanut butter and jelly play tonight in Milwaukee as the Cleveland Browns 1-0 takes on the Milwaukee Bucks that are 1-0. But we're going to come back here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to take a quick 30-second break. We're going to play. We're playing basketball. We love that fast skit ball. Every time you hear that song coming here on the Tony Sands Show, guess what? You know my main man, Mo Love, is joining the Tony Sands Show. So we're going to play this song. 30 seconds coming back here because we are a little behind. So we want to jump into these topics. Me and Mo going to take it to the 6:30 hour. And at the 6:30 hour, my main man, Ryan Bartow, talk to the show. Talk to me, my guests, and everybody. We're going to get the latest on college football. Michigan and Penn State play this weekend. Miami and Syracuse, as Syracuse come off the big win against Clemson, can the Miami Hurricanes hold out and beat Syracuse and become possibly in that top five, that top six, and become, guess what? Possibly a big playoff bid. A big playoff bid. My main man, Ryan, I get it. Thank. Hey, my main man, Ryan, is in the traffic in L.A. I know he is stuck in traffic. It is going to be big. But stay tuned here. We're going to play a song. We're coming back 30 seconds with my main man, Mo Love, here on the Tony Sands Show. Stay tuned.
I like the way they dribble up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go, cause it's basketball, but Mr. Kirch's flow.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show with my main man, Mo Love. Mo Love, what's happening, man? What's going on in Atlanta?
What's going on, Tony? Everything going well? What's going on with you?
Man, I'm loving each and every week, man. Me and you chiming into this basketball standard. And now we're going to take this thing a little bit because we're going to chime into the NBA. And you're going to break it down for my listeners on some of the top games that are taking place, like the Milwaukee and Cleveland. We're going to get into the Boston and Philly matchup and our main people at Golden State and New Orleans. You're going to give us your opinion, your assessment on those games. But Mo, let's jump into this thing, man. We back here another week. NCAA scandals. Is this thing continuing to fall? And are the leaves shaking off the tree? But Mo, let's take this thing. Let's take it back. And people that are joining the Tony Sands Show, this is my main man, Mo Love. It is his hour of the Tony Sands Show. We love basketball. Mo, man, we look at this thing and we see how this thing is playing out. There's study, the FBI study shaking leaves to this thing, man. How far do you see this thing going and where do you see it going in the near future with this scandal?
Man, Tony, when I read up on this guy, Rashad, Michael, and Michelle on this scandal, that it's getting bigger and bigger. People are going to start throwing names out like we talked about in the past a couple weeks. And we're just talking about people going to go down that we don't realize a part of, like, this suit maker. He's a 42-year-old man, businessman out of Atlanta.
Yes.
And he's a part of this scandal. Did you know that?
Correct.
He was with Chuck Parsons. With Chuck,
yes,
Parsons, he got received $49,000 for annual money from being a part of the scandal. I mean, it's amazing how much how many people can be a part of this scandal like that. It's just amazing.
Yes, it is. And Marsh, when you look at this thing, when you say a suit maker receives money, so that means, guess what? This suit maker has some contacts with somebody for him to even be brought into the fold of this event. Because you,
right,
are not going to get your average suit maker and bring him and say, hey, we're going to bring you in. So you know this suit maker possibly had ties with some big player or knew how to get to a player for him to even be bought into the fold of this thing.
Yes. You know, the big scandal back in a couple of years ago, him and Dominique got in a conversation after the game. You know? Dominique,
yeah,
Wilkins.
And you talking about a Hall of Famer, Dominique Wilkins, and to see that him in a suit maker, and everybody must understand now, Rashid at one time was a referee.
Yes, he was.
He's a referee. So now you wonder, when you look at this, you're saying, wow, how deep does he go? But now that doesn't even shake the tree. You wonder now, here goes a player that's a business maker, never had any ties far as with law enforcement. Now you get caught up in a scandal of this magnitude. And what happens? Do this guy start saying, hey, this guy's involved, that guy's involved, this guy's involved, that guy's involved? And if you go to yahoosports.com, you can read up on the whole entire article where,
yes,
they say, meet Rashid, the suit-making middleman caught up in college basketball hoops. So if you go to, Pat Forbes wrote this article. If you go to, like I said, if you go to yahoosports.com, you can read up on this whole entire breakdown of some of the even, and like I say, they say Rasheed was deeply embedded. What I mean by that, deeply embedded with Clemson, where you can see him on this Instagram page where you see him taking pictures with Deshaun Watson, Mike Williams, Martavius Bryant, Javis County. So we know he is a big player in the suit market. But now, he went in and said, hey, I want more than suits. Baby, suits ain't making enough. I need to tap into this basketball money. This basketball
money. You know what they
call
him also? They call him a hustler. You know, he's an opportunity referee. You know, he's trying to get refereed in. They came out of the referee because of how he carried himself. But he's a hustler. Yes. It was all about himself.
And now imagine now, you see a guy like this, and all of a sudden this guy grabs hold to, he's a referee. How deep do you question some of the calls that he made in the NBA?
You got to question it. I mean,
that got to come to play.
Oh, you
that's
got to
come into play.
Think about it. That's a partner. That's business. I mean, he's coming by my shoes. I got to make him happy, right? So there's about money. Right, more he wins, more money you make. Am I right?
Yes,
and
the more exactly.
I benefit myself. It's all connection.
We're all tied in because guess what? If I'm winning, and eventually, guess what? I'm getting the big contract, possibly. And like I said, allegations. These are just right now allegations until they are proven. But this thing is starting to shake up. When the FBI come, they have almost a 99% success rate. They're not coming if they don't have a case to where they can clue in and get you. So I'm telling you, man, this thing is getting huge when I say how this thing is playing out. But Marsh, I don't know. Now, Rick Pitino speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Pitino, he did his interview when it came to all this, and he was professing his innocence in all of this. He was continually say, hey, Rick Pitino has nothing to do with paying or athlete or had no knowledge of athletes being paid and none of this. But I'm finding it hard to believe. Now,
right.
I understand the power that Rick Pitino has in Louisville, the power that he has throughout the nation. And here go another scandal that rocks your home and you have no knowledge at all. You had just took and he states, Maurice, that he took the lie detector test.
Right.
He took the lie detector test and passed it, as he stated that he passed it. I don't know if we've heard anything further on the validity of the test, but I'm telling you, he takes this test and he speaks about it openly in the interview with Bayless. So with Jay Bayless. So. And Jay is asking him the same question that I would be asking, the same questions you would be asking, and the same question the college basketball average fan would be asking.
Right.
You know, so when you look at it, when you play basketball and you're in this industry, and basketball is a lot smaller when it comes to numbers than football. How much do you think a college coach with the power of Rick Pitino could he possibly have not known that this is going on his campus?
Negative. A head coach, a basketball coach, 99% of what his players are doing every day. Because someone's telling, somebody's asking, and somebody's watching. So there's no way that he did not know what's going on with his program. There's no way. Great coach. Don't get me wrong. But every coach knows what's going on their program. But 15 players, that's a small number. You got to keep them intact. Big university, that's a million, thousand kids in there, a million kids in there. But just think about it. 15 players in that diameter, that circle, you got to know what your kid's doing every day. Curfew, study hall, class, basketball, everything. He does it.
And then, Mars, when you look at this now, understand now that the FBI also – and their investigators have, you know, Pitino, the grand jury subpoenaed to produce his phone records and other documents related to this investigation into the corruption of college basketball. Rick Pitino, and it speaks of that Rick Pitino, attorney Steve Pence said the Basketball Hall of Fame coach received a grand jury subpoena from the U.S. Mm-hmm. District Court of the Southern District of New York earlier this month. Pitino requires to turn over all documents, communications, including emails, text messages, cell phones, social media, and computer records from January 1, 2014 to the present, related to the actual or the potential NCAA rule violation by players and coaches. Now, I'm not in law enforcement, but I do know this, that if they're asking for all this information, you got to be somebody of interest to them. You got to be of interest. They don't just ask for this.
Right.
And you have no knowledge of nothing. You have no knowledge of anything.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out how he continues to say that he has no knowledge when you know they got to know there's knowledge somewhere in this. They asked for social media, the computer records, text messages, cell phone records, and understand, he must understand now, these ain't the boys to play with. If they asked for that stuff, they already know that stuff.
You're right.
They already know it. It ain't that they're asking that you give them the correct answer. Rip Pitino, they already know it. So if there's a smoking gun, they're trying to see how truthful you're going to be to them because they already have it.
That's right.
They're pulling these records and possibly having subpoenas to, you know, tap your phone and your social media, and you don't even know about it.
Yep.
So don't think that you can erase it and it's done. You forgot this is the FBI. This is what
That's
they
right.
do. They go back and pull that stuff. They pull that stuff.
You're right.
So I'm trying to see how far do Rick Pitino continue to say until, and I know it's going to, and it happens a lot, and like I said, a lot of stuff is allegation, but it happens a lot when you say, okay, I have this information, but I ain't done nothing wrong. Now, I don't know what happened here, because you feel like if I crumble it up and throw it in the garbage, it's disappeared. Rick Pitino, not in this case, it does not, because guess what? The FBI has ways of going in the garbage can and getting that stuff out of there. So don't think that if it was happening and you had knowledge, I would clearly say at this point, he best to start saying it.
They're going to dig now. They're going to dig deep, too.
Yeah.
It's real deep, you know, all the way back, you know. And I didn't feel sorry for some of the other college coaches, understanding the other AAU coaches and everybody around, because somebody's going to keep on. It's going to be somebody every week. You'll say, oh, my God, when are they going to stop? When are they going to stop?
And I think, Marge, I guarantee you this, because everybody, and if anyone goes to that article and they listen to, if they go to that and they listen to the story, they're going to hear in there how, as they say, there's more people going to be involved, going to possibly be indicted, because guess what? A lot of these guys going to want to figure out, how do I get this time cut off me?
Right. Nobody wants to go to jail. Nobody wants to go through the FBI. Nobody wants to go do time. They're trying to figure out, man, I'm not going. I got a family to take care of, you know? And I can get out of this situation as fast as possible. I'm going to start talking like a bird.
So you mean tell me if I tell you this, and this, this possibly 80 years that I'm facing, you can drop it down to 10? Okay, let me give up him, and I guarantee you right now still, there are coaches that are still running scared because guess what? Their name has not been bought up yet, but they know it possibly is.
Yes,
so
it
I'm
is.
Telling you, Maurice, this thing is going to get deep. Mo, hold on. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. They're telling me I need a quick commercial break. We're going to go to a commercial break. We're going to play more of that. I love that basketball. We're coming back to continue to wrap up this basketball scandal, how deep it does it go. You're listening to my main man, Mo Love, as we continue to break down this NCAA basketball and how far does this subpoena go when it comes to Rick Pitino and all the evidence that he has. Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to play We Love Basketball. We're going to come back, and then we're going to dive into more of Rick Pitino Do he know what he know, and can he fool the FBI here on the Tony Sands Show?
That's H-O-R-S, chump.
All right, last one was easy, but this is going off the chimney, over the fence, hit the car window, all net.
Yeah, right, Shorty.
All right.
We're not talking about just regular basketball. Nah, we're talking about street ball.
Street ball
will be played today. And coming into the court right now, man, Bow Wow and his teammate.
All right now.
Bob,
yeah,
what's happening,
man? Hey,
all right now? He'll wave at us later.
Now basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way to dribble up and down the court. I keep it so fresh on the microphone. I like no interruption.
The federal government is alleging that a Louisville assistant requested a payment from an Adidas representative to provide to a Louisville recruit. It was alleged to be $100,000. Did you know anything about that?
No. One of the toughest things you have to do, and hope you never do it, is take a lie detector test. You have a blood pressure machine, you're wired up, and I was asked two questions. I said, and I want you to ask me if any other recruits in my tenure were ever given anything. And he said, that's not what we're here for. We're here for, did you have any knowledge of the Bowen family get any money? Did you have any knowledge of an Adidas transaction? And I answered absolutely not on both questions and passed the lie detector test. So I had no knowledge of any of this.
I have heard reasonable people ask the question, how could he not have known? How do you respond to that?
Jay, all I can tell you is I don't answer to those people. I answer to my players who have been.
And we're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. Maurice, you got a chance to hear that interview. You got a chance to hear that interview. And what do you make of that interview? Because he's clearly saying that he has no knowledge of any players being paid, and he's never paid for a player that attended the University of Louisville. How do you make out that story when you listen to that interview?
Well, Tony, I mean, playing collegiate basketball and just playing basketball for many years and having kids that I know and play basketball in the program and just knowing basketball coaches. Again, I say it again, Tony, they have to know what's going on in the program. There's no way. Nothing to go past the coach. Nothing. The girlfriend.
Yes.
Nothing.
Yes.
The study, the schoolwork. Nothing. Your mom, nothing. Everything's gold. Your family, everything that coach know, everything. Because you know why? He's your daddy. I make it again.
Yes.
He's your daddy while you there at school. So he got
rejected
because
exactly.
He trusted, they trusted, the parents trusted that man, that coach, to be a father, a coach, a mentor to that individual at that
Correct.
Time. Long he's there. So he knows what's going on. There's no way to sit the coach and sit and talk about we want this kid right here to play with us, and we're going to do what we're going to do. Now, you know what you're going to say? I got nothing to do with it. But I don't hear you.
So that tells me. But then me when I listen to this, and I say, okay, here go two scandals that hit the University of Louisville. The guy that comes to my house and say he's going to take care of my child, every time something comes up, he says, I have no knowledge. So that makes me wonder. Are you truly watching after my baby when he's there on your campus? Because two things is broken out. And guess what? You have no knowledge of it.
Right.
You have no knowledge. So how much are you truly, truly, truly watching over the players at the University of Louisville? That's to me, that is mind-boggling to hear.
Right.
And as you see on top of firing Rick Pitino, they fired the athletic director also.
Right, because he should know.
Yes.
There's no
yes.
way that everybody sits at the round table. You know that. And they talk.
Yes. They everybody.
Talk. Everybody's sitting around, and they talk. There's no way in saying, I want this kid over here out of Florida, out of Georgia.
Yes.
Well, how can we get this kid? You know, what we got to do?
That's the first thing. What we got to do when it comes to getting this kid.
Right. Right. There's no way out of it. So they, Rick Pitino, even he's a great coach. Don't give a ticket to him wrong. And the business is what it is. However, he knows. He knows what happened. Everybody knows. But, again, he passed a lot of tape. We can't say nothing about that. I mean, you can't, in a court of law, you can't use it in the courtroom. However, he was accepted about it. But, however, Tony, he knows. There's no way not going on.
And let's let our audience, we're going to let our audience listen to another 30 seconds of that interview his knowledge of everything seems to be that I have no knowledge. We're going to play 30 seconds. The producer's going to play it, and we're going to listen to it as Doug play this.
I answer to my players who have been over the top in support of me. I answer to my assistant coaches and, most important, my family. But the one person you got to answer to in life is God. And I sit here today and tell you, should I have known that somebody walked into a hotel room? And that, I don't see how I could possibly know. In the other case, people say, how did you not know? Well, there were security in the building, assistant coaches, 20 managers. So we monitor social media. Not one thing came out in social media in that other case. So should I know? Let's just say.
Not my. Marsh, if you notice, he said, in that other case.
Right, right, right.
He said, in that other case.
Right.
Making sure that he didn't cross himself up and say, in this case. When he said security, this is going on. And that, and even in that case, when he said everything that was going on in the dorm, they had nothing. I know if in it, when I was in college, the things went on in the dorm. My coaches knew what went on in the city. Because security would call them and tell them, hey, such and such is going on. So they say that they didn't have no knowledge. I'm still finding that to be crazy. But Mark, that's not switch gears. Go ahead.
Let me say, security, when I'm in college, security calling at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, kind of coach in the morning when you sneaking out the room, walking down, you know, out the street. Are you walking to the store? Are you see you somewhere? The security calling the code first thing in the morning. He's saying at 5 o'clock in the morning, son, why are you walking down the street by yourself?
Yes. Yep.
There's no way
exactly. And so I find it hard to be. But, Marsh, let's dig into this. We're going to change gears and not say that I don't know, but to say that, hey, disrespect. Marsh, and here in South Florida, it's becoming, you know, we're on the heel of the Colin Kaepernick situation with him, and they say there's a disrespect of the flag. But now, here in South Florida, Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets play, and now on the heels of that, the police benevolent president states that he wants the police officers not to do the detail of the Miami Dolphins game because he felt like the kneeling. Now the players are disrespecting the police officers.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah.
That, how do you say, and see, we're taking, now we said it was the flag, and only thing guys are saying, and Kaepernick was saying, say he just wanted to bring light to the situation so the situations can get corrected. So, that's deep that the Police Benevolent Association will tell the players, I mean, tell these, and I call them players because there's a brotherhood there too, that the police officers not to do the detail of that game. That's, this guy is, and he continues to do this a lot. How do you see that as playing out? Do you see some of those guys say, hey, we're not going to pay him no attention and we're going to go ahead and do this detail because that's what we sign up for?
Well, I mean, you know, if the, you know, officers get paid for $35, $40 hour to work extra jobs there at the game, you know, and it's, you know, it's, we got people, the reason why we kneeling is showing that a unity of us in the United States, you know what I'm saying, of what we're standing for. And people are saying, why we have to stand? Why? I mean, I didn't want to show something different. I got my fist up. I'm not here fighting. I'm not going here trying to tear buildings down. I'm kneeling.
That's
you know,
it.
We kneel to pray, don't we? Don't we kneel to pray?
A clean protest. And we always say that's the beauty of this thing. When we look at the military, they went and fought so you and I and anybody else have the freedom to have a protest in peace on both sides, whether you like it or not. And then I find when you find this that he's pretty much now, and this is the part that gets me, that I don't think he's really understanding the big picture of what's going on. We just seen an incident that happened in Las Vegas. What just happened in Las Vegas? Now, here you are, the president of the Police Benevolent Association, and you telling police officers, big as the NFL is, the biggest sporting event is, you telling them not to secure people that go into the stadium?
Right.
That's shocking. That's shocking.
I mean, we they're taking it too far.
Yeah,
it too far.
That is clearly what I'm saying. We how far and how many people we're gonna say that this thing disrespect it is mind boggling that he would come out and say it, because on the heels, don't think if you're saying it, don't think just we in America is listening to it.
Right. Right.
Those that are abroad is listening to this.
That's right.
And that's what we got to be careful, that we don't open something up to happen. And then I guarantee you, boy, it's going to be a smoking gun, because they're going to say, guess what? You egged this on. Regardless of what, we are here to protect and serve. That is our job, because there are people in there that may not have our views. And every day that I see, every day that police, and I have you and several other police friends, they say, guess what? Regardless of a person's view, I still have an oath that I must protect and serve them.
That's right. That's right.
Whether I see their views or I don't. And that's why I'm finding this mind-boggling in all this. I find it mind-boggling in all of this. But, man, listen, Mo. Hey, man, thank you for joining the show, man. We're going to join it each and every week. We're going to talk. That's why, before we go, let's break down some of the games that are going on. Break down some of the NBA basketball games. You give me your assessment of it. You give me your opinion on it. Let's look at the basketball games that are going on. As I told you, Cleveland and Milwaukee. We got Dwayne Wade, who's now joined up again with his partner.
Right.
So how do you see that game playing out?
Well, listen, that's going to be – Cleveland got now have a bench now. You know, they look strong. The other night they played against Boston. They play good. They look strong. They got D-Wade looking refreshed. And that was Batman and Robin, like you say, Batman and Robin. You know, and they decided to say who Batman, who Robin. But, you know, both of them play together, LeBron and D. And that's what they needed. And Cleveland going to take him. You know, Milwaukee have a young team, but Cleveland, the experience and the talent, almost like an all-star team. With D-Rose, MVP?
Yes.
Come on, man.
And like I said, in this day and age of basketball, man, that's big. Because guess what? They are always trying to create the superpower team, as you can see, is what basketball has become. Now, let's look at the – give me your opinion on the Boston-Philly game tonight.
Well, hey, when that guy came down and hurt that ankle?
Yes.
That was it. I mean, Boston, you got Kyrie. Kyrie can ball. You know he does what he does. He's going to do what he does. He got, and they're going to ball. They got a good team, but they got to get it back together. Now they get that confidence back up, because one guy went down. One guy don't make it all, but
it's chemistry.
You know what I'm saying? So, and they got a good young team, so it's going to be a good game tonight. It's going to be a challenging game tonight. But Boston's going to win probably. They're going to win probably by 10, but it's going to be a close game.
Wow. Hey, Mo, man, thank you for joining the show, giving your assessment of basketball. You are the expert when it comes to basketball here on the Tony Sands Show. You are the man live from Atlanta, man. You hold it down there as we talk each and every week here on the Tony Sands Show. My main man, Mo Love.
All right.
With the Tony Sands Show. Mo, man, see you later, man. Thank you. We got to head to California. My main man, Ryan Bartow, is out there in that California traffic on 10, trying to get home by 10 as he break down college football. What's up, my main man, Ryan Bartow? What's going on?
California love.
California, as Snoop Dogg would say. Hey, what's going on, man?
I'm in that unforgiving California traffic. I woke up this morning in beautiful Santa Barbara. I'm heading down to Huntington Beach now, and I still got about an hour and a half going, but... Yeah, the West Coast tour. I've been on the West all week. I spent 2 days at Oregon, 1 day at Oregon State, 1 day at Stanford, and gosh, it's hard to beat the beautiful weather and great talent out here.
Tell me, as a guy's taking this journey, the journey that you are taking and has taken, man, what traveling, you have seen city after city after city. Before we get into where your stops were, when you look at Oregon, Oregon State, Stanford, what all have you learned on this journey that you have taken when it comes to college towns?
Well, I've learned a lot in terms of the operations. I've learned a lot in terms of what a lot of places have in terms of how they use their support staff, how they go about the recruiting process, how they set up unofficials, official visits, spring, summer, fall, in-season, recruiting plans, different ways they go about evaluating, the whole kind of behind-the-scenes operation that these support staffs and these coaching staffs do. But I've also seen some places like a Tennessee and Nebraska that have as good of facilities as you're going to see anywhere in the country. And then the 2 days at Oregon, I was just blown away. Their facilities, it was like going to Google, like a major corporation, but you also felt like you were in outer space because they have, outside of location, they have some stuff there in terms of, you know, the shoes you wear, the uniform, the way they test sports science and soft tissue and just stuff there that outside of location, they have everything there to win and win really big.
And Ryan, as you say, you journeyed to Oregon.
Right.
But before you went there, let's dig into, like you say, Tennessee and Nebraska has some of the best facilities that you could ever step into, but they're not, their success this year is below what expected at Tennessee and Nebraska. What did you think that is affecting that from being to where they should be at the top of the SEC and in the Big Ten?
Well, some of it is they got away from what is traditionally won there. I thought Nebraska moving from the Big 12 to the Big Ten has hurt their recruiting pitch because all their games now are north of campus. And they got away from what they did so well in terms of player development, in terms of running ball, in terms of what their consistent personnel would dictate what you should be running offensively and defensively, and kind of the model that they used. Wisconsin uses that now, and that's why Wisconsin's been in that Big Ten title game as much as anybody on the Big Ten on that West Division side. Tennessee also, they probably had the guy there in Philip Fulmer that won 74% of his games, and sometimes you get overblown on those expectations. And then you try to find somebody else, and they've dipped in with Lane and Dooley and now Butch Jones, and none of them have been even close to Fulmer. So kind of poetic justice. And I mean, that thing could be open as soon as Sunday morning because Alabama's going to be able to name their score against them tomorrow. It could be about 54-0. And when you go 11 quarters in a row without scoring a touchdown, you know it's not a matter of if they're going to open up. It's a matter of when. And you're going to see a lot more openings come open in the next couple of weeks before Halloween here because now you have a signing day of December 20th, so yes. The calendar got pushed up even earlier.
And Ryan, when you look at, you know, as you say, Nick Saban's going to come in there making sure that his guys are not eating the rat poison. You know, he's going to make sure his guys not eating the rat poison that the media is feeding them. You know, and not have another Clemson-Syracuse situation.
Right. And we saw that on back-to-back Friday nights where Southern Cal gets upset by Washington State.
Yes.
Syracuse uses their tempo and upsets Clemson. And those are things that probably should never happen because in those games, Southern Cal and Clemson got to pick their 85 players first, and Syracuse of Washington State got the leftovers.
and they pulled off
the upsets for ages on those Friday nights.
Exactly. Right. Let's get to this Oregon. You visit Oregon, and I'm quite sure with Phil Knight being up there, I'm quite sure Oregon has what you call beyond. They're not a football facility. They have a corporation sitting on a university campus.
It's unbelievable. You've got a 60,000-seat campus where it's a hostile environment. But, I mean, I'm just talking about, I saw some of their shoes. I saw a machine that they put their shoes in. They make their own shoes there, give them to players, wow. And then they put them in this machine that for 10 seconds puts air on them. And then when they put air on their feet, you don't have to wear the shoes in. It feels like you've already worn them 10, 15 times. And that's just one example. And I mean, talk about Willie Taggart wins the big at USF because he switched his offense, got a guy from Miami Jackson, Winky Flowers, the best QB fit. And then he goes out and hires not one, but two former head coaches as his coordinators with Jim Leavitt and Mario Cristobal that both pulled off miracles when they were in the state of Florida as head coaches at USF and FIU. So he's got that thing. They're there for a reason because it's rebuilt, but they'll never be 4-8 again. In fact, they might be 8-4 this year, but they're recruiting at such a high level right now. They have the number 4 class in the country where in years 2, 3, and 4, that thing will be back up and humming and looking like the Oregon that we've been accustomed to the last 10 years.
Yeah, that we've been accustomed to, fast paced, getting ready. Yep. And as you can see, like I say, Oregon right now, they take on UCLA this week. How do you see that game there is playing out? Because they slightly have UCLA favored in that game.
Yeah, UCLA is a touchdown favorite, and they've been kind of up and down. They have the NFL quarterback. They're just okay around him in terms of skill. Defensively, they have as good a freshman as you're going to find in Jalen Phillips, the future top 5 pick. But they've given up a lot on the run, too. So, and that's a program that obviously Jim Mora is on the hot seat there. Now, in terms of Oregon, I watched them practice on Tuesday. They're down to their third quarterback. They're going to start Braxton Burmeister again as a freshman. And so, I mean, last week against Stanford, they did not throw for much, but they ran for big yards. And they could run for even more. I think I might take the over-under for pass attempts for them at 8 and might even take the under on that. I think they're going to feed the ball to Royce Freeman. I think they're going to run tempo, get it to Darian Felix, that freshman from Fort Myers, and that'll be the formula. I mean, I just running into our guy Mario Cristobal there, and I'm like, you were on that 1999 staff that Miami had when you fed it to Edgerrin James and beat UCLA when he ran it 39 times for 299 yards. And UCLA football has not been the same since that day. That might be your formula with Royce Freeman, that big back. You want to give it to him 35, 40 times and control the clock, control the ball, and keep your defense off the field.
And that's when you look at that game, I look at Oregon's record, and I look at, they've beaten Nebraska, you know, they've beaten Wyoming, they beat Cal. How really battle-tested has Oregon been when they're getting ready to come in and you know, you look at, you know, they lost to Stanford. They lost to pretty much all ranked teams they lost to, and they'll, like I said, they'll play UCLA. They'll go to Utah. They'll play number 12 Washington, Arizona, and then they'll end out the season with their in-state rivalry against Oregon State. How battle-tested do you think that Oregon is when it comes to finishing out the rest of their schedule?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to see a tough division, a tough slate in this pack. Now, it's up for grabs. It's wide open because who would have thought last week that Chris Peterson would only score one touchdown against an Arizona State defense that's given up big yards and barely ever substitute on defense? So that was a major surprise. Southern Cal is going to have their hands full tomorrow against Notre Dame. They've been very, very fortunate to beat Utah last week and Texas earlier in the season. So, I mean, that conference is so balanced from 1 through probably 10 of the teams and so up in the air that they may not have a representative in the playoffs just because you could have multiple teams. The champion of that league, which I would say Stanford's probably playing at the best level right now, and they've already lost to Southern Cal. Could have multiple losses, so they could be without a team in the Final Four.
And as they're saying, they may be locked out of the Final Four. And with that being said, let's go to their in-state rivalry, Oregon State. You had a chance to visit with Oregon State. Our main man, you know, we got our main man, another one of our main guys there on top of my main man, Mario. But we have Mr. Lockett still sitting out there. Now, from Lockett's standpoint, now you don't know who's going to come in there
right
as head coach. What was he like when you visited with him, if you had a chance to visit with him?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
from South Florida, and now you're in Oregon at Oregon State.
Right. And this is the first time he's ever been through it because, remember, he was leading yes. Miami Central to all those state titles, and then Willie Taggart hires him at USF. And I still like the move for him to Oregon State because it solidified him as, oh, you weren't just a high school hire to recruit in the state of Florida. You're a legit Power 5 coach because you're at a Power 5 program
yes.
now. So he'll always have a job, and he knows that. He doesn't know where it'll be, but somebody's always going to hire him because what can he do? He
yes.
can recruit South Florida, the number one hotbed for talent. And yes. whether there's a beaver on his shirt or a bull on his shirt, or maybe one day there'll be a gator or a tiger on his shirt, he's going to be able to do that and do that at a good level given his track record and his resources. So I told him this. I'm like, one day, Lockie, we'll laugh about this conversation we had in Corvallis, Oregon, because that place, I'm telling you, Tone, that might be the hardest job in Power 5. I was there, and it was rundown facilities, and there was no trophy room. There was no evidence of Coach Erickson when he went. No, there was no I did not see the Fiesta Bowl trophy when Coach Erickson went 12-1 and beat Notre Dame at Oregon State. It was run down. It was almost like the movie Major League where you saw signs up like the cold tub will be back working
yes.
Friday and the bathrooms will be back working like Thursday. I mean, that's a hard job. I mean, and they're going to have their work cut out for them, whoever inherits that roster, too, because they're on the low end right now.
Ryan, man, listen, I got to play your theme song for where you at. I'm going to play it. We're going to play 30 seconds, then we're going to come back, and we're going to break down Stanford and who might be in line for the Oregon State job here on the Tony Sands Show. California. Tony Sands Show. If you hear that song, you know my main man Ryan Bartow is joining the show. And guess what? He is in California. That's why I had to let my man Tupac tell you where my main man Ryan Bartow is. Ryan has visited Oregon and Oregon State on his tour. He is in Cali. But Ryan, when you talk about California and you talk about teams in California, you cannot stop talking about Stanford.
Yeah, Stanford is. Stanford is set up, honestly, if they run this and they beat Washington, they'll go to the Pac-12 title game. If they win that, that would give them 4 out of 6 in the Pac. And that, I think, is a miracle because when you go there, the first thing that they look for across the country is transcripts. They have to check out and see if the transcript can even be good enough before they look at any football tape because you need a minimum
yes.
of a 3.0 GPA and a 26 on the ACT to get in there. They've had to turn down
yeah.
kids that have a 4.0 GPA and a 24 on the ACT. So I had tweeted this after I left. I think if you get a offer from Stanford, that's kind of, and you take it and you commit, that's like getting a winning lottery ticket because it sets
wow.
you up for the next 40 years. Whether you're
yes.
playing football or not, the network there, you can walk out of that place and get a 7-figure job. It's unbelievable. There's no place like it. I mean, I went there, and when I was watching practice, their scout team quarterback was David Mills. Davis Mills is from Atlanta. He was ranked as the number 2 QB in the country last year. I was joking with their quarterback coach. I'm like, bro, you got 2 5-stars and 2 4-stars in your position room at quarterback at Stanford. Because they're so smart and they realize the pro style offense, but most of all the education there. I'm like,
correct.
You have the best position room in college football in terms of quality, probably since the 99 Canes running backs when they had like Najee and Clinton Portis and Frank Gore
yes.
and Willis McGahee, that kind of loaded. So
Stanford has that formula where they're going to run counter and they're going to throw to those big tight ends and play behind their offensive line. And I mean, what an impressive place, because you got to remember they can only offer probably 35 or 40 kids a year.
Gosh,
and they're only signing 12 to 16 a year.
Yes, that is true. And Ryan, they could possibly make that run. But Ryan, let's jump back to the East Coast, because we've got my guys are telling me that we got about a minute and a half left. Ryan, tell me, now we got the Syracuse and Miami game here in South Florida coming up. Dude, how do you see that playing out in 30 seconds? Give me how you think that's going to play out.
I think Syracuse does a great job. I think they recruit South Florida great, led by my man Slick Nick Monroe. But I think Syracuse had their biggest win in 20 years last year, and they're set for a letdown, where Miami, who has walked a thin line and winning some games pretty lucky, pretty fortunate the last couple of weeks, I like Miami 34-24.
Woo, 34-24. And, Ryan, you know you won out when it came last week to the game with American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons. It was a four-point difference. A four-point difference in that game, man. Listen, man, you continue on your journey. Next week you'll join us on the show, and we'll find out, guess what? What city my main man Ryan Bartow in? But for now, we're going to let Tupac tell you where Ryan Bartow is as we leave out here on the Tony Sands Show. Join us each and every week as my main man Ryan Bartow joined the show early in the show. My main man Mo Love out of Atlanta gave us a breakdown on how the NCAA is handling the scandal with the FBI. Ryan, man, see you later. We're signing off here on the Tony Sands Show as we play Tupac as we leave this thing with California Love, baby.
Much love. Peace, buddy.